In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here we are again at the outset of Lent, a season in which we engage in spiritual disciplines to draw near to Jesus, to become more like him, and to bond with Christians near and far who are on the same journey. Along the way, we examine our lives, especially our sins and transgressions. We repent, undertake penance, and practice self-discipline with the goal of putting to death those habits which enslave us and embracing wholeheartedly the resurrected life Christ offers. Sins, transgressions, repentance, penance, self-discipline. These words are hard to hear. Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest and author, says these words sound like language from an earlier age when relationship with God was laced with blame and threat. These words are redolent with guilt, and even if we do not fully grasp their meaning, we are aware that they express judgment against us. In many churches today, there's a sense these words of judgment ought not be said. They are, after all, vexing to visitors, mean-spirited to members, and problematic for priests who seek to convey God's love and grace to our hurting world. And so many Christians have dropped the issue of these words by dropping the terms altogether, from their classes, their conversations, their prayers, and their preaching. Doing so bypasses the message of the cross and moves straight to the message of grace. We love the parable of the prodigal because it assures us that no matter how far away we've gone from God, and no matter what we may have done, we are always welcome home. The result of skipping too quickly through that parable to the end of the story, Mother Taylor says, is that we have lost the language of sin. We forget that the power of the parable of the prodigal is that before he was welcomed home, the son got woke, as the kids say today. He recognized his sin against his father, prepared a confession, and left behind one way of life for another. Forgiving everything, his father welcomed him home, but not because the son was innocent. The parable is powerful precisely because the son was guilty and he knew it. He transgressed in his relationship with his father, and realizing this, he repented. Now, we Episcopalians, like other liturgically oriented Christians, have been less affected by the lost language of sin. After all, we pray the general confession every week before Eucharist. But before we pat ourselves too firmly on the back, consider how quickly we fly through those words, just like we want to fly through the parable of the prodigal. How easy it is to make our general confession week after week without ever having called to mind any specific things we might have done to have grieved our Father. So while we may use the words more than many, we too have lost the language of sin. It is easier and less painful for us to rely on God's forgiveness sometimes than to actually think that God might want to support us in our efforts to stop sinning. In Lent, we're called to return to this lost language of sin so that we can take part in the divine work of redemption. This past Sunday, we gathered together and we heard God's voice call us to listen to Jesus, his chosen son. When we do that, we hear good news from Jesus, good news of new life right here on earth, complete with new vision, new values, and new behavior. And so this Lent, let us wade into these worrisome words. Let us latch on to the language of sin, not to beat ourselves up, but to allow God to show us the areas of our lives in need of transfiguration. Wading in calls for self-examination and repentance, for prayer and fasting and self-denial. Wading into the lost language of sin involves reading and meditating on God's holy word. Let's look at those. We're called in Lent to self-examination, which takes many forms. We might look through the baptismal service at the renunciations each of us made in our baptism. We renounced all sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. What is drawing each of us here tonight from fully receiving and sharing that love? What disciplines might we adopt? What behaviors might we set aside to allow ourselves to be drawn more fully into God's love? We renounced the evil powers which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God. I wonder what is corrupting and destroying each of us tonight. Recapturing the lost language of sin calls us to self-examination. We're called in Lent to prayer. Many of us struggle with prayer. If you're like me, you struggle to make time for prayer. And when you do make time for prayer, if you're like me, you forget that it's a conversation. I am aware that I spend an awful lot of time talking to God and little time listening for what God may have to say in response. Investing in our prayer lives during Lent allows God to come into and view our self-examination with the grace and love that we so earnestly desire in response, if we'll pause and take the time to listen. We're called in Lent to fast, which Christians have long practiced to draw close to God. Whether we fast from foods that we love or distracting habits that leave us empty and exhausted, fasting helps to remind us that we do not live by bread alone, nor can we fill our own emptiness, no matter how many gadgets and gizmos we have. To fast is to discipline our appetites and align our wills with God's will. We're called to meditate during Lent on Holy Scripture. This Lent, we might set aside time to read all the way through Luke's Gospel, snippets of which we read every Sunday this year in church. The season of Lent recalls the 40-day fasts of Moses from Exodus, of Elijah from 1 Kings, and of course of Christ from the Gospel stories. All of these would be fruitful Lenten reading. The point isn't what we choose to read from Holy Scripture this Lent, but that we choose to enter in, to read and meditate on God's Word. Excuse me. Finally, we are called to Lent to repentance. Throughout history, I am aware that repentance has smelled like burnt offerings, tasted like bitter herbs, felt like self-flagellation, and sounded like sermons entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Setting aside these negative sensorial experiences, we can recapture the lost language of sin and repentance when we hold fast to the good news that our repentance is the means by which we accept God's invitation to restored and renewed relationship. To repent is to allow God, in the words of today's opening collect, to create and make in us new and contrite hearts, hearts open to God's activity and love in the world, hearts that ache with the suffering of others, hearts that move our bodies into service unto the least of these. Now, this work of Lent, it's risky. We may become overwhelmed. We may feel lost and grief-stricken. We likely will arrive at a point where we find ourselves worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness. We do this work not to remain overwhelmed or lost or lamenting or with a sense of wretchedness, but in order that we may obtain from God, who is the God of all mercy, perfect remission. We'll hear notes of that remission of God's forgiveness every week in the Eucharist. And even so, I commend to you at some point during this season of Lent the sacrament of reconciliation. Though each of us has direct access to God, who is ready and able and willing to hear and forgive our sins, it is profoundly life-giving to me to name my sins aloud in the presence of another human being who does not fall out of her chair when I say what I have done and failed to do. It has been life-changing for me to hear someone, after I have said such things, look at me with eyes of love and say, "Rebecca, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has left power to the church to absolve all sinners who truly repent and believe in him of his great mercy, forgive you all your offenses." If you would like to take part in the sacrament of reconciliation this Lent, please phone me or Father Casey to schedule a confidential appointment. We will gladly guide you through it. Sisters and brothers, God invites each of us to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. The good news today is that Christ has made this possible to all of us who accept this invitation. Won't you journey with Jesus through the next 40 days? And all God's people said, "Amen."